So all of us go through suffering in life, right? Doesn't matter if you're a Christian or you're not a Christian. People suffer, and they suffer in various ways. You know, you might physically suffer, emotionally suffer, mentally suffer, but we all go through it. And as Christians, how do we handle our suffering? Right? What kind of attitude do we have? And that's talking about worldly sufferings, suffering that everybody goes through, not just Christians, but people in the world. And even the people of the world, there are those that have such great attitudes, right? And I think we as Christians should be able to have a great attitude in our sufferings. But now let me ask you another question. How much do you suffer for the cause of Christ? How much does each of us suffer for the cause of Christ? My lesson title this morning is The Sufferings of Paul. We're going to look at a little bit of Paul's sufferings, and then we're going to have a little bit of application at the end here. Because it's different. We live in the United States of America. And whereas we're headed in that direction, we haven't had to endure the things that Paul's had to endure. Are you willing? Have you suffered any? Right? Jesus says they hated me before they hated you. Is there anybody in the world that hates you because you're a Christian? Do the people of the world know that you're a Christian? In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, this is Paul, right? Paul's writing all these things, and we know how much he suffered, and we're going to get into that, but he says to young Timothy, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Okay, Christ himself mentions such. But it says all who desire to live godly. It doesn't just say those who live under a communist regime, those who live under socialism will suffer. Countries that are contrary to Scripture, that blatantly fight out against Scripture, right? But it says all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. In 1 Peter 4:16, it says, yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. So in other words, as Paul, don't take it personally when you suffer for Christ, but glorify God when you suffer for Christ. It's really hard, I'll tell you, when people have such animosity towards someone who believes in Jesus Christ and are Christians. And so I'm speaking to myself this morning as much as I'm speaking to you, because even in my experience, right, it's hard when people hate you because of Christ. It's not easy. But we have to stand firm, right? There's no sense in giving in to them and those in the world and giving up your faith in Christ. Because it's all about eternity and it's all about the end. I'm telling you, what we suffer here, according to Romans 8, nothing will compare with the glory we'll experience up there. Nothing at all. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 29 and 30, right into those in Philippi, it says, for to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here is in me. So Paul is writing to the church in Philippi, right, while he's in chains in Rome. And here, look at the terminology he uses. For to you it has been granted. I think that's an important term. So in other words, do you look at that term? If you've been granted something, most of the time that's a positive thing, right? And Paul says here, for you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but to suffer for his sake. Is that something positive to you? But just as Paul boasted in his sufferings for Jesus Christ, I think we need to learn to do the same. So Paul himself, you'll turn over to the book of Acts, right? We're going to read a few passages here in Acts. Because Paul himself, who we know suffered for the church, let's look at the beginning. Paul was zealous for God. From the very beginning, Paul was zealous for God. Right? As a Jew, he was zealous for God. He thought he was doing the right thing. Looking at chapter 7, Looking at verse 57 of Acts, it says, and they cried out. Now, this is Stephen before the Sanhedrin, right? And, of course, everything that he's told them through the history and through what they've done, they call out that he's blasphemous, right? So it says, and they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, ran at him with one accord, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul, who we know became Paul. And then go down to chapter 8. We'll look at 1 through 4. Now Saul was consenting to his death, this is to Stephen's death. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house, dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. That's one of the key things we need to focus on. Those who were being persecuted and they were scattered, they went everywhere preaching the word. And then look at chapter 9, verse 1. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, right, Jesus and Christianity, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. So Paul himself, right, we're talking about sufferings. He persecuted the church, and he caused others to suffer for the sake of Christ. In chapter 26, verses 9 through 11, he said, indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. So this is Paul, zealous for God, and yet he is contributing to the persecution of the church and to the suffering of the saints. In Galatians chapter 1, let's turn over there and let's look at verses 13 and 23. So this is Paul now writing to the church in Galatia. He says to them in chapter 1, verse 13, for you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And then look at verse 23. But they were hearing only. He who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy. So this is that same Paul who contributed to their persecution and to their sufferings. And think of how difficult it was for them to listen to him, right? Because of his history, his past. I mean, this man contributed to the deaths of Christians. And here he is proclaiming the gospel. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 6, Paul gives his qualifications as a Jew and a law-abiding Jew, able to boast in the flesh. He says he was zealous for God, and he mentions his zeal as part of persecuting the church. So Paul was zealous for God as a Jew, as a Pharisee, and he thought he was doing right. And what was he doing? Part of his zeal was persecuting those who were following Christ. So we see in his former life that he was zealous for God, but he was misunderstanding, right? He wasn't given necessarily the light yet, if you will, on the road to Damascus. So let's turn over there to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. So Paul, right, his conversion, when the Lord appears to him on that road to Damascus, look at 9 verses 15 and 16. This is when he's there. Ananias is told to go to Paul. And of course, he's kind of fighting against God about this. And he's like, whoa, wait a minute. You've heard about this guy, right? This guy kills Christians. And you want me to do what? So anyway, so here the Lord speaks to him in 15 and 16. It says, but the Lord said to him, okay, to Ananias, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. So the Lord is telling Ananias, go to Paul. Paul's going to be a vessel of mine, and we're going to show him how many things that he's got to suffer for my name. So now thinking about Paul's life, how true did those words ring out when Jesus told Ananias, we're going to show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake? So we're going to look a little at Paul's persecutions. We won't be able to take the time to go over all these scriptures, so just kind of bear with me. If you have the time to turn to them, I'm not necessarily going to wait for you, if you will, but you can write them down, because I want to get into the perils of his 2 Corinthians, and we'll get to that. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 30 and 32, okay, it says that Paul fought with beasts at Ephesus. So one of the places he's remained a long time in his ministry was Ephesus. And it says that he fought with beasts at Ephesus. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, it says, but in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings. So that's not even his all-encompassing list that we're going to look at in 2 Corinthians 11, but think about that. Just in that list that I read to you. So how much of that for the cause of Christ have you suffered? Tribulations and needs and distresses, stripes, imprisonments, tumults, labors, sleeplessness, fastings. How much of that has affected your life? In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10, he said to me, so this is when Paul's talking about his thorn in the flesh, right? Paul said, he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Do you notice the terminology he used in verse 10? He says, I take pleasure in this list. I take pleasure in these things. But the key is, what do you say at the end? I take pleasure in these for Christ's sake. Right? It's not that he enjoys going through these things. It's not that he enjoys enduring the pain and all these persecutions and everything that comes with it. But he takes pleasure for Christ's sake. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 17, he says, from now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. So we can think about that physically, right? And emotionally, mentally. Paul bears physical marks for his proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do we bear any marks? I would venture to say just about all of us don't bear any physical marks. Do we bear any mental, emotional marks for proclaiming the gospel of Christ? Romans chapter 9. I'm going to hold that. Let's go to 2 Timothy, back to writing to the young preacher Timothy, chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. He says, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. Okay. Those persecutions he's talking about were in his first missionary journey. He was actually stoned, right, and left for dead outside the city. And he's talking to young Timothy about he knows what he endured. And that's when he met young Timothy. Now let's, with your Bibles, go ahead and turn over with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I think most of us are familiar with this. We're going to start in verse 23, but here's the thing. A lot of times as Christians, we go to this to show a lot of the sufferings of Paul in his ministry for Christ. But do you realize 2 Corinthians was the fourth book that Paul wrote? The fourth book. So we know that Paul wrote 13 of, at least 13 of the New Testament books, epistles. 2 Corinthians was the fourth book. So it was early on. You have 1 and 2 Thessalonians on the second missionary journey, and then you have 1 and 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians written from Macedonia on the third missionary journey. So it was written from Macedonia around the fall of 57 AD during his third missionary journey. So here's the thing. Let's go over a little bit of timeline, right? So you kind of understand where I'm coming from with this. Because it's believed that Paul's conversion was around 36 AD. Okay, 36. So in 57, when he wrote this, that had been about 21 years, right? His death in Rome was in 68 AD. And it was his death in Rome. So if you think about his conversion, 36 to 68, his ministry spanned 32 years. Okay, 32 years. Well, 2 Corinthians believed to have been written about 57 AD. Therefore, if you think about it, this covers only 21 years of his 32-year ministry. So when we read this list, just think about the fact. This is only two-thirds. This is leaving out a whole nother third of his ministry. Do you think the man suffered that last third? Yeah, we'll get into a few of those. Let's start in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. We'll read 23 through 28. It says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. 1 night and 1 day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily? My deep concern for all the churches." These are all the churches that he's visited, right, throughout his missionary journeys. So through all that suffering and all that enduring, what does he think about first and foremost? He thinks about the churches. He thinks about the gospel. He thinks about Christ, all for the sake of Christ. So could we do that? So now, as I talked about, so this doesn't include, this list right here, being one of the earlier books, doesn't include the last 11 years of his life. So if you go through the book of Acts, you can go through all of his missionary journeys, right? This is written in the middle of his third missionary journey, after Ephesus, when he goes over to Macedonia. So, therefore, he's got the rest of that missionary journey, the third, and I consider kind of the fourth when he goes to Rome. So the fourth and final year of the third missionary journey is not encompassed in here. And he spent 3 years in Ephesus in Acts 20 and 31. His arrest and treatment in Jerusalem is not included in this, right? He goes to Jerusalem, that's where he's arrested, and then, of course, he appeals to Caesar, right? His two-year imprisonment in Caesarea, so he's taken from Jerusalem to the coast of Caesarea, he spends 2 years there. None of that's included. His perilous journey from Caesarea to Rome, which included, we know, being bitten on the island by a venomous snake, and then another shipwreck, okay? So you read about the shipwrecks here. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Well, guess what? Now we know 4 times he was shipwrecked. Okay. His first Roman imprisonment. It lasted 2 years. Okay, it lasted some 2 years. That's not included in this list. His second Roman imprisonment, which resulted in his death. And that's not included in this. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, and also 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, when he's writing to Timothy, that's his last book that he wrote to young Timothy, last book total overall, and it was to young Timothy. And it talks about him being in his chains. This is his last Roman imprisonment before he's executed. So 2 Corinthians covers two-thirds of his ministry, but not the last third. So we see that Paul suffered way more than we can imagine if you just read this list right here. He suffered greatly for the cause of Christ. Now, in the sufferings listed here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, by category, there's 24. Okay, this is by category. One third of that number, eight of them, right? So if you had 24, one third is eight, are perils. Perils are so many and so varied and so terrible, yet in the Lord's surface, he came through it all. Look at 2 Timothy, if you will. Turn over there to chapter 4. Because I want you to see in all of this, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. Says, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. So after all this, that's Paul writing to young Timothy at the end of that book there. And he talked about how the Lord delivered him from all of that stuff. I think about that when it comes to COVID and how 2 out of 3 times I've had it, right? So I'm lucky. Lucky that I've had it 3 times. Maybe I'll set a record. I don't know. But 2 out of 3 didn't go so well. But the Lord has delivered me out of all of it. So, and I seem to get, it must be my immune system or something. I seem to get all the weird diseases. You know, I've had yellow fever, I've had West Nile, I've had all that stuff. So Fern mentioned, and I got to tell this. So Fern mentioned, she goes, you know what? After this last bout of COVID, and it was the antiviral drugs that helped me because I honestly felt like I was dying. She goes, you know what? You may be tough, man, but your immune system's a sissy, right? And I was like, whoa, that brought me down a couple notches. Like, well, I'm sorry, can't do anything about that. But again, that's his physical sufferings, right? That's physical sufferings. So let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Through all of this, right, everything we've read, just think of Paul's attitude. He says, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and yet not killed. Throughout his whole attitude, he's like, you know what? I haven't died. I'm still living, right? I'm chastened, but I'm not dead yet. So what is he going to continue to do? He's going to continue to proclaim the gospel of Christ. Paul was truly owned by and totally committed to Jesus Christ. He bore in his body the marks of devotion, the marks of faithfulness. He continued to serve through his sufferings, even though it would have been easier to turn back and quit. Jesus himself says in Mark chapter 8, verses 34 and 35, when he called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. Right? Now that's both speaking spiritually, right, and physically. It's not necessary that we're going to die for the cause of Christ, although that's a possibility, especially the way things are going, especially as more generations come up and have to endure and put up with this. But ourselves, our spiritual life, we need to die, right? Die so that we might live. Die to ourselves, live for Christ. And that's how we should be living our life. His faith continued to excel through it all. He said, with that thorn in the side, for when I am weak, then I am strong. And all that to say that he relied on Jesus Christ. He relied on him for his strength to get through it all. And I think sometimes we lose sight of that for ourselves. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 11, he said, what persecutions I endured. Out of them all the Lord delivered me, just as the Lord had delivered Paul through all his sufferings. He delivered him home, where he could be free from all the sufferings which befell him for the sake of Christ. You know, one of my favorite passages, that's what I have, it just so happened, and look how the Holy Spirit works and how the Lord works, and just so happened that the passage that Ray had selected for Frosty to read this morning, I just cut a little bit of it out on the front side because it all fits. And this is one of my favorite passages from Paul writing to young Timothy, 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 8. He says, for I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure is at hand. I've fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but to also to all who have loved his appearing. this is the very end of his life. And look what he writes here. He writes with joy. He's like, he's telling Timothy, look, the time of my departure is at hand. It's my time. I'm going to die. I'm going to die for the cause of Christ. I'm going to be put to death. But he has this positive outlook that he's finished the race. He kept the faith. And now he gets the crown of righteousness. And I think in a positive aspect, we as Christians get too caught up in this world. This world is not our home. This is not where we're meant to be. We shouldn't live. This world is not my home. That song, This World is Not My Home, and I talked about Here We Are, Australian Pilgrims. I think often as Christians, we get so caught up in living for this world and this life that sometimes it forces us to lose our focus on eternity and lose focus on the crown of righteousness that we're all going to receive when this life is over. Paul got to enter into his rest with all that work that he did for the cause of Christ. A couple other passages I want to leave with you here, because again, with Paul. So Jesus in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, it says, we are to rely on Jesus for our rest, right? He says that. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We as Christians have that promise of rest, right? While we're here upon this earth, Philippians chapter 1, Paul says, to live is Christ, to die is gain. While we're here upon this earth, we're not here to build up material possessions. We're not here to gain power and prestige. We're here to serve God. We're here for the sake of Christ. That's where our life should be all wrapped up in. But we have that promise of rest. In Revelation 14:13 says, then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. So what are we doing in our lives for the sake of Christ, for his kingdom? And then these last passages that Paul wrote that I'll leave with you to close out is, again, going back to the book of Philippians. We just started the study of Philippians on Wednesday night, and we got through chapter 1. And at the very end of chapter 1, in verse 27 of Philippians, it says, only let your conduct, okay? Paul writing to the saints in Philippi, let it speak to you. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I'm absent, I may hear of your affairs, and that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here is in me. So Paul has given us admonition to live lives worthy of the gospel of Christ. Don't be afraid of what's going to happen to you in this life. As I said, all will suffer. All Christians should suffer, will suffer. If they know you're a Christian, you're going to suffer. Even in this country, I'm telling you right now, right? The military has gone. I served all my time in the military. And guess what? There was a lot of things contrary to Scripture and contrary to Christian believers in the very end there. And it's just getting worse and worse, right? They don't want us to live out our faith, is what the case may be. And as was told to me one time at a place of my work, was that, hey, when you come here work, leave your religion at home. I'm like, well, sorry. They're one and the same. Yeah, I'm not going to come in here and disturb everybody and stand up on a table and start preaching, right? Because I'm getting paid by the employer to do my job and I work as to the Lord. But if anybody has some questions or how I live my life, my work ethic, all that stuff is all based in my faith and how I live for God, right? So it's a 24/7 thing. We don't leave it here on Sundays and then we come back next Sunday to live it again. No, it's 24/7. So when you leave, you walk out these doors, it's to serve the living God and Jesus Christ, to live for him. So the last thing I want to leave with you is Romans chapter 8, one of the great chapters. Romans chapter 8. Because keep this in mind. When you're enduring anything in your life and upon this earth, keep this in mind, this last passage here, and then we'll close. Romans chapter 8. Let's see, we'll start in verse 33. Well, let's start in verse 31. 31. Leave you with this passage. Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, with that passage, just think about some of these things that I've talked about this morning for our life's application, for things that we endure, things that we go through, whether it be physical life sufferings, mental, emotional. But we've got to get beyond that. Because what kind of sufferings are we suffering for the cause of Christ? And to keep such a positive outlook, a positive attitude, that there's nothing in this life that's going to be able to separate us from the love of God and Jesus Christ our Lord. It's not. When you die in this life, right, we're just putting off this old tent and we're going to go be with our Lord. And there's nothing in this life that will compare with the glory we'll experience up there. So just think about those things as we suffer day in and day out. And think of your life and what you can do day in and day out to live a life for Jesus Christ, to live a life as a Christian, to let people know you're a Christian, right? That's one of the things. If people that are around you all the time don't know you're a Christian, why is that? Why is that? All the people that are around us each and every day should know we're Christians, right? First of all, because they have a soul, and that soul needs to be saved as well. And how you live your life can be an example to those people, right? But they need to be taught the gospel. So, think about Paul. Think about his sufferings. And then the ultimate suffering for all of us. Whereas it wasn't anything he did, but Jesus Christ suffered on the cross for you and me, for each and every one of us. Because of what we have done, because of sin in our life. So, at least when we suffer, right? Hopefully it's a life for Christ, and it may be justly if we suffer, but Christ suffered for us, and it wasn't his. It was our sin. So, just keep a positive outlook on this life, right? Takeaways. Let's not live for this life. Let's not live for this world. And if we're living in this world, we're living for Jesus Christ, right? Not for the world. Our Savior is not the government, right? Our Savior is not city council. Those aren't our Savior. Our Savior is Jesus Christ. And he's the one that will give us salvation in the end, right? Live faithfully until the very end. So live that way each and every day. So if you have a need to come forward this morning, whether you're a Christian or not, if you're a Christian and you have a desire to be immersed, or if you're not a Christian, rather, and you have a desire to be immersed in the water of your baptism to enter into the fold, so that you too can be granted on behalf of Jesus Christ to suffer, right? Then we'll ask that you come forward and we can study with you and we can talk about that. And if as a Christian you have needs, whatever it may be, right? Whatever it might be, we're here to pray with you and to help you along your journey. So if you have a need this morning, go ahead and come as we stand and